Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and this is For the Record. That is our legal show, and that means we're being hosted by the law firm of Tarlo, Breed, Hart & Rogers, and that my co-host is Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlo, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Welcome, Mark.
Jeffrey, nice to see you. Great to be with you. Very much looking forward to hearing from our next guest.
Well, you know, I love these For the Record segments that we have. Lawyers are in the midst of this wonderful economy in Massachusetts, doing a lot of transactions. Our next guest, Jim Coffey from the law firm of Lock and Lord, is going to talk to us, I think, about life sciences, mergers and acquisitions. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it. It's nice to see a friendly, familiar face in Mark Furman as well. We were talking before we started this morning, and you know, Mark and I had a case many, many ages ago. I can't remember what we worked on, but I remember him as a friendly face, which is a nice thing.
Well, that's the thing about Mark. He always has a friendly face.
That's right. That's right.
He lets the facts do his fighting.
Mark, anything to say about that?
No, I'm speechless. but very much like to hear about your practice
Sure.
and your firm and
Sure,
what's
you know,
going on?
I sometimes have to sort of scratch my head a little bit and figure out how I got to where I am. I started off in a very, very small firm doing bankruptcy and restructuring work back in 1989, 1990. I worked for Henry Boroff, who was ultimately made one of the bankruptcy judges here in Massachusetts. He was a very good mentor, and I learned a lot from him as an associate. But the time that I got out was 1989, 1990. The whole New England economy, as you recall, was completely in disrepair. Real estate was upside down, underwater.
That's when I moved here. Wrong time to move here.
Yeah, I mean, well, good time to buy things, that's for sure.
Wasn't a good time to look for a job.
No, that's correct. and the same was true of me. When I got out of law school, I thought that I was going to jump into a big firm, do mergers and acquisitions, do big deals, but what did I end up doing? Distressed bankruptcy work.
Those kind of deals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deals are deals.
Deals are deals.
But distressed bankruptcy.
Yes.
Very, very distressed. You know, and what I learned, though, was that in a distressed situation, time is of the essence. People's nerves are frayed. You end up having to think on your feet very quickly, make decisions very quickly. And as a young attorney, that was the best kind of training and environment you could really ask for. I had other friends of mine who, you know, went off to big firms and, you know, were relegated to just doing document review, that sort of thing. And they didn't learn as much in a short period of time like I was fortunately able to. Anyway, I got a lot of interesting transactions, and over the years, I developed an ability to work with people who are interested in buying distressed assets, sometimes out of bankruptcy estates, sometimes out of receiverships, or sometimes just directly from a company that was struggling. And being in New England, with a life sciences economy all around us, I started representing buyers of distressed IP portfolios. One particular case was very, very interesting. The company no longer exists, but it was a company called Phylos, and it was a therapeutic drug company that was very promising, but had run out of financing. And I was involved with the sale of those assets to a company called Compound Therapeutics in Cambridge. And interestingly, the purchase price was fairly modest, but a few years later, the acquiring company revamped its entire business model, focusing on the assets that they had acquired, and within 4 or 5 years was able to turn a $3 or $4 million purchase price into a $400 million sale of the company. So it was a good time to be doing deals and learning, and I developed a skill in finding interesting technologies, working with interesting people, investors, acquirers, and getting into a lot of deal flow that way. Never intending to end up at a larger firm, but what happened was I ended up starting my own law firm, So I'm very excited to be on an entrepreneurial radio show. Built my firm up from one lawyer to about 12 lawyers. Merged my firm with another firm in 2001 and kind of grew my practice, and by happenstance have ended up at a global law firm of almost 800 lawyers. So not sure how that happened.
How long have you been with Locke Lord?
I've only been with Locke Lord since the beginning of the year, but sure. it's a great firm. You know, and I'll give it a little bit of a plug here. It's a national practice. We've got offices as well internationally in Hong Kong and London. I'm the co-chair of the Life Sciences Practice Group. I'm on the transactional side. My fellow co-chair, a gentleman by the name of Brian Zerhuizen, is in Connecticut, but he and I run the practice group and represent lots of life sciences companies in various types of transactions. We do work for National Cancer Institute. We do work for a large German pharmaceutical company called Boehringer Ingelheim. We do work for other companies such as Cytovance Biologics. You name it, we're involved in it.
Now, I look at things a little bit different than Mark because I'm not an attorney.
Good for you. That means you're smart.
You had a small law firm. You were an entrepreneur. You started a law firm. You sold a law firm. You've worked for medium-sized law firms, and now you're working for an international law firm.
Right.
So it's like the porridge,
yeah.
the hot, too cold, medium. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, as an entrepreneur, the differences between all of them. And I find it interesting that you were an entrepreneur who now works for a large firm, because sometimes it's hard to move your way up after you're an entrepreneur culturally.
Yeah, I'll say that there are days where I sort of pine for the days of yore when you could walk down the hallway and, you know, get some assistance from someone that you needed, and it was a very informal type of process. Now there are protocols that you
procedures
have.
Procedures for everything.
Yes, procedures for everything. So there are certain drawbacks associated with both being in a small firm and also in a large law firm, but law firms are funny places. They're all made up of people and different personalities. And within big organizations, you find pockets of people who you naturally gravitate towards and you work with in a team sort of setting. And so I've enjoyed that a lot. And at Locke Lord, the culture is really one of a collaborative spirit and a team enterprise, if you will. People really kind of band together and work hard together. So even though I'm at a really big firm, I feel like there's a texture to it. There's a smallness to it in how I approach the practice of law there. And there are a lot more offerings. So if I need someone who has a special expertise in DNA, gene therapy, whatever it might be, I can always go to someone. Whereas back at my old firm, anything to do with patents, for example, I would have to, you know, consult somebody from another law firm on the outside.
Well, you said you've done some work also in life sciences. That's a dynamic area of the economy to be in right now. Can you talk to us a little bit about your practice in that area?
Sure. You know, it's a nice place to practice law here in Boston, because you're right in the hub of so much development, innovation. I was just reading the Globe this morning and saw that there's an interesting new gene therapy company that is going for FDA approval on one of its therapies to treat blindness in a rare childhood disease. And, you know, and to be able to be part of something like that is really exciting. I mean, I'm only on the transactional side, so I'll put together the license agreements, or I'll draft a collaboration agreement, or I'll work on something that is more of a corporate nature or contractual nature. The really interesting stuff is when you work with the IP lawyers who are trying to protect a company's intellectual property and also create pathways forward for the company strategically looking at current patents that the company has, and also looking at know-how that the company has, and figuring out which things to patent, which things to keep secret. It's almost like you're engaged in a game of Stratego or something, because it's like that.
Good. I'm just wondering, Jim, if somebody wants to find you, how would they do that?
Sure. You can find my bio on the website at Locke Lord. That's LOCKELORD.com.
Right.
My email is jim.coffee@locklord.com, and that's coffee with a Y. I've been in Boston my entire career, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Well, maybe you'll come back again and talk to us about some of the transactions that you've worked on.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Right. I want to thank Mark Furman, who's my co-host also, and the law firm of Tarlow, Breeder, Hart & Rogers, who's sponsor for the record. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.